I trust that we have experienced that loving kindness again this morning and rejoicing in it. Welcome everyone here, glad for our visitors, and trust that we can continue in the spirit of worship. I'd like to just take a lesson out of John chapter 11 this morning. You know, that's the account of raising Lazarus from the dead. I was just reading through this the other day, and something kind of stood out to me here. I thought I'd like to share, and probably as much for my own benefit as anyone. The question that I want to answer here is, why did Jesus wait 2 days before he came to Bethany and raised Lazarus from the dead? Let's start in John chapter 11, verse 1, and we'll read through the 15th verse. That doesn't cover the entire account, but it covers the part that I want to bring out. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. I am glad that I was not there for your sakes. That statement brings questions. Here we have a familiar account that happened in Bethany. Bethany is a very prominent place in the gospel accounts, close to Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away from the city of Jerusalem. And if you remember there in John the 10th chapter, where Jesus gave the parable of the good shepherd and declared himself as being the good shepherd and thereby his deity as the Son of God, this message was rejected by the Jews. And so Jesus escaped out of their hand and left and went out in the area where John the Baptist had been baptizing, out beyond Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan. And there he was. And there he was when this message came about Lazarus, about a day's journey away from Bethany. And so it took a day for the message to get there. Jesus waited 2 days to leave, took a day to get back. That's 4 days. And Lazarus was already dead when Jesus got the message, because he had said that. He said he sleeps. And so there were a number of things that happened in Bethany that are significant here at the end of Jesus' ministry, being in proximity there to Jerusalem, and the people in Jerusalem were wanting to kill him. And by Lazarus' death and by performing this miracle, many of the Jews came out of Jerusalem and witnessed the miracle and were brought to the place of decision. Is he the Messiah or isn't he? and so it was here in Bethany where the colt was tied. You know, right immediately after this miracle took place, This was just a few days before the Passover, and so here's where this colt was tied that Jesus rode then on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the people were coming out and proclaiming him king, and putting down the palm leaves and those kind of things in their garments, and he had made quite an impression here because of this miracle, and people were responding to it. And here is also then where he was invited to a meal there in the home of Simon the Pharisee, or another place that calls him Simon the Leper. And he was in the house of Simon the Leper there when Mary and Martha and Lazarus were there. And here is where then Mary brought that precious ointment and poured it on his head, anointed him for his burial. That ointment that was worth 300 pence, almost a year's wages. And the disciples, especially Judas, said this could have been used to give to the poor. Jesus said, you have the poor always with you. She's done this for my burial. And this was, again, just a few days before he actually went into Jerusalem then and was crucified. So all these things were happening. This was a very intense period of time in the ministry of Jesus. It was culminating here. It was coming right up to the end. And what was happening here was very important. So I think it helps to explain why Jesus chose to do what he did. And then finally here at Bethany, it is also after he had spoken to the disciples and they went with him as far as Bethany. The Mount of Olives was right there. And there is where he then ascended into heaven. And there, I don't doubt but what Mary and Martha and Lazarus were probably in that little group there that saw Jesus ascending up into heaven and disappearing into the clouds and saw the two figures there dressed in white, saying that as you have seen him, therefore go into heaven, you'll also see him return in like manner. All this within just a few days and in this place close to Jerusalem. And so here we have that setting now. And it says he abode 2 days still in the place where he was, there on the other side of Jordan. In the Gospel of John, there are three times when someone near and dear to Jesus makes a request of him. This is one of them. And the other one happened at Cana when they ran out of wine at the wedding. And Jesus' mother came to him, just simply said, they're out of wine. And Jesus says, what have I to do with you, woman? My time has not yet come. And we take that to be kind of a crude answer to his mother. But it didn't deter her. She just turned to the others and said, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And so they did. They filled the water pots and Jesus turned it into wine. We know what happened there. Didn't shake her faith. She knew she had that kind of confidence and faith in Jesus. And the other thing was here in the book of John, when his brethren said, let's go to Jerusalem. Jesus said, they said, you go to Jerusalem and prove yourself. If you're really who you say you are, you'll go in there and you'll do something. You'll perform some miracles or do something that makes people believe in you. Just prove to us who you are. And again, Jesus' response was that my time has not yet come. He said, you go into Jerusalem. And then Jesus followed them later. The Bible says, Go ye up into the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were going up, then went he also up unto them, unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. And we read that in the 7th chapter of John, and we're moving into this period of time when he's going to be giving this instruction. He's going to be declaring himself as the Messiah, The bread of life, there in the 8th chapter, or the 6th chapter, 7th chapter, 8th chapter. He is declaring himself to be the Messiah. And so he didn't respond immediately, but later on he went up. And so in each of these three cases, Jesus responded in the same way. He first refused to grant the request, and then later on he fulfilled it. But it was always saying that I'm going to do things in God's timing and in God's way. And that's the important thing here that I want to bring out this morning in the two-day wait. God does things in his timing and in his way. And he has reasons for that. through his actions, Jesus demonstrated that his delays are not denials, but it was simply that would bring greater glory to God. And that's the part that's sometimes hard for us to understand. We are human just like Mary and Martha were. You know, Lord, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. That was their first response when they saw him in two separate occasions. First Martha, then Mary. If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And, you know, that's often the way we think about the situations that we face. Now, life has a lot of difficulties somehow comes with it. Unanswered questions and things that we would like to have, and we'd like to have it now, and we have it all figured out, just what would be the best way. But we don't, it doesn't happen that way to us a lot of times. Very seldom that things happen just when we want it and how we want it. Sometimes, but not very often. And so why is it that God allows things to come in that way? Well, it seems as though one of the things is that it's healthy for our faith. It's good for our faith to exercise faith. And if we always got things just the way we wanted it, when we wanted it, and how we wanted it, there would be not much need for faith. But he tests our faith just to see how much faith we have, maybe, or to strengthen our faith. I think that is really one of the primary reasons, is because he wants to strengthen our faith. And because faith is so essential to the Christian life. We must believe, even though things don't look like they're going right. We must believe. Our faith is in God and in his word. And we believe that God will do what he says he will do. And finally, to receive us into glory in the end, if we're faithful to him. And so these trials of our faith are for that purpose. And so why did he wait? Was it because he didn't care? Well, the Bible tells us there in verse 5 that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loved Mary, Martha, and her sister, and Lazarus, the Bible says there in verse 5. How did it say it there? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. So it's not because he didn't care. That's clear. He loved them. It's not because he didn't care that he waited. Was it then because he was afraid of the Jews? Remember, he was on the other side of Jordan because they were threatening to kill him. And the disciples were very apprehensive about him returning to within 2 miles of Jerusalem. They said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thou thither again? But Jesus was not afraid because he did go. He just went in his timing. Well, was it because he then was uncertain on how to proceed, just exactly what to do and how to go about this? I don't think so, because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He told the messengers that this is not a sickness unto death, but it's for the glory of God. And so that the Son of God, might be glorified. And so then here is the reason, I believe. And this same reason that tests our faith many times is that God would be glorified. Not because of what I want, but that God would be glorified. And so Lazarus died. And it was over. It was too late. It was too late. It was too late to heal Lazarus. And so when he came there to Bethany, they said, it's too late. I mean, why weren't you here? Where were you when Lazarus was sick? If you would have been here, he would not have died. Both Martha and Mary said that. But when Jesus came there then, and he went without there to the cemetery with them, and it says he ordered the stone covering Lazarus' tomb to be rolled away, Martha protested. She said, he's been dead for 4 days, and it's not going to be a very good sight, a very good smell. He stinketh already. 4 days in the grave. There's a number of things here, I think, that we can see that probably God was using. One was that the common belief of the Pharisees, the Jews, was that the soul of a person would stay around for maybe up to 3 days, but after that it was hopeless. There's no more chance if the person would be unconscious or whatever, you could put him in the grave, and there's a possibility there could still be life there. But after the third day, no possibility. And so that was one of the things that, he for sure was dead. It was not a matter of question of whether he was dead or not when he was raised, that he just was unconscious or something like that. But for 4 days he was there. It was too late for Lazarus to be healed. It was too late to raise him from the dead. The body had already begun to decay. What can be more final or more hopeless than death? We have Jesus raising other people. The son of the widow of Nain, they were on the way to the cemetery. And also Jairus' daughter, some of those. But for Jesus, it was not too late. And, sometimes we tend to think that, my situation is hopeless. It's too late. There's nothing can be done about it. And we give up. We stop praying. We just resort to despair and hopelessness. But Jesus, for Jesus, it was not too late. When he arrived there at the tomb, and it says he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. But first of all, there was something that needed to be done. That stone needed to be rolled away. The wine pots had to be brought and filled with water. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman who had a sick daughter, she said, Jesus said, you can't give the children's bread to the dogs. And she said, well, but the dogs can eat what falls. From the master's table. And her faith was tested. And Jesus commended her for her faith. That's what he was after. And in this case, it was the rolling of the stone. And she said, well, he stinks already. But somebody had enough faith to roll that stone away. And then he cried out, called out with that loud voice. And I believe that sometimes Jesus, does that. He just wants to test our faith, and he asks us to do things that confirm our faith. Someone has said, when I'm going through rough times, I hang on to what I know to be true and trust God for what I don't. And so what is it that I know to be true? In this case, what do we know to be true? We know to be true that the Bible says that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we also know it to be true that he that loved us, that the one who did not withhold his only son from us, but gave him up for us all, how will he not then with him also freely give us all things? That's something we know. It's something the Bible says, and we believe it to be true. Why is God silent sometimes? You may have been praying and crying your heart out, asking God for help in your situation, but somehow you've been put on hold, waiting for an answer. Here in John 11, Mary and Martha send out a frantic call for help, and their message got through to Jesus, but instead of going immediately to Bethany, Jesus deliberately remained there in Perea for 2 days. They were put on hold. There was silence. He didn't even say, "I'm coming later." He just didn't come, just didn't show up. Why does God put us on hold? Not because he doesn't love us. I already mentioned that scripture there in Romans about freely giving his own son. It's not because he can't grant our request, because the very one who raised Lazarus from the dead is the one that we worship and love and want to serve. And that's a question that I probably can't answer for you, and that we can't answer for one another, and probably can't even often answer to ourselves. Why is it that God puts us on hold? But we do know this. Like I said, we have those things that we do know that bear us through in times testing or doubt. But we do know what he said, what Jesus says. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That's a promise. Hard to believe, isn't it? What about me? What about my situation? I've been praying and praying and praying. Nothing has happened. I'm on hold. So I don't know what situation you may be facing here this morning. Maybe it does seem like it's truly too late, and we're disappointed in God, and we want to blame God, and we want to, that's a lack of faith. And finally, coming down to the final conclusion of this, verse 45, the very end of the chapter here, chapter 11. No, it's not the end of the chapter, it's the end of this account. In 45 and 46, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done, in a negative light. And if you read on in chapter 12, you can see what happened there. But basically, these things bring us to make a choice. We can choose to trust God, to exercise faith, to put our trust and our hope and confidence in him, or we can choose to say, yeah, hard master, he reaps where he didn't sow, an austere man, he just enjoys to make us suffer. And that's the two choices that we see here. The raising of Lazarus received radically different responses. Many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But the chief priests, the Pharisees, chose to disbelieve and to kill Jesus. And not only Jesus, but they also sought to kill Lazarus because Lazarus was the evidence. And they simply didn't want to believe it and accept it. And so those choices we're faced with all the time. And let's choose to believe. Let's choose to not allow, have our faith to waver and begin to accuse God, but rather to trust in him always.